702 and Cape Talk.
Talking Sex.
Hello, my darling. How are you?
I'm really happy. I'm always happy when I hear opera and discussion around opera.
Beautiful escapism. It's just such a stunning art form.
At my very, very favorite, favorite place where I spend money and I spend lots of quiet time. So go and see La Boheme. Go and see this.
I'm definitely going to see it. I'm going to catch it tomorrow evening.
And also, you know why? Because it's just such a very familiar, you'll recognize the music, it's familiar, it's easy on the ear, it's magnificent. Okay, enough of that. So, I need a quiet brain to get into what we're talking about today because it makes me super excited. Because of the complexity of marriage, I spend my hours of my day, if I'm not actually immersed in my therapy room in people's marriages, I'm watching crazy movies like Wakefield, and I'm absolutely compulsively interested in people's relationships and marriages and looking at how to find ways of being married or being unmarried that make people happy. So I was really excited when, as I do, when new research comes out, which gets us to think about marriage in a very different way. And trends are emerging that really we need to sit up and take notice of because it has such impact on ourselves as individuals, but also on family life, on our perceptions and beliefs around economics, around health, around socializing. We need to be understanding marriage a little differently today than what it used to be. So what we really want to focus on today is something called the marriage advantage. Now, this is a term that's been around for a long time, and it's been cited by many different professions in order to maintain the institution of marriage. So loads of research have been done over the years to tell you how healthy marriage is for you, that there are many advantages to you being married and staying married. The first bit of advantage that comes in is going to really hit you is going to be was obviously from religion, from law. This is going to make you safer. There's going to be commitment. There are real tax breaks around it. There are financial gains to it. And then there's a lot of health benefits that come out of it, more for men, interestingly, than for women. Marriages seem to be protective for men, not so much for women. So we know all of this. We've also been told over the years that marriage is a safe place for children to be brought up in, so let's rather stay married. And so we've kind of believed this stuff and stayed married with great difficulty, as we all know. Great difficulty being that 50% of us end up getting divorced. And also many, many, many more of us end up cheating because we struggle in the institution and the rules that the institution brings to us of the advantages, so-called, of what marriage is and why we should stay there, not feel like a failure, not feel like we're going to die sooner than later and that our children are going to suffer. What the new research is showing us is that actually everything that we were ever told was a great advantage, including have a regular sexual partner, which means you're going to have more sexual frequency, is being challenged. Not true. Not really true. So I'm curious to know from my listeners, before we start revealing this research, do you still find that marriage has an advantage for you? And I'm really curious to know what that advantage is for you.
Absolutely. Well, let's give the numbers in the unlikely event there's a new person who hasn't listened to you before. 011-883-0702. If you are contemplating marriage, is it because you're still associated with some of the advantages Dr. Eve just listed? If you are in a marriage, is it marital bliss? Are you lying to yourself and you recognize already that there are declining returns on the investment in marriage? Let's have an honest conversation. It's a safe space. And Dr. Eve, as always, will engage you, respond to your experiences very generously and top it up with some good research as well, which is always very useful. 021-446-0567 in Cape Town and in Joburg, 011-883-0702. So divorce rates are what? About 50% of people who get married end up getting divorced. Is that what you said?
Yeah, 50 to 55% of people getting married end up getting divorced. That's why, you know, it's always so interesting is why gay people around the world really fight for this institution.
We want the right to get divorced.
be a little creative around it. Find us another. But also what the research is showing is that civil unions are becoming way more popular than marriage. And yes. also we know that more people today are cohabiting than getting married. And sure. it's like, why? What are you afraid of? What is so scary about this thing called marriage? Is it commitment? Is it different when you're married to when you're cohabiting? Are your rules and boundaries yeah. different? I don't know.
Actually, I've got a couple of quick stats questions I want to ask you. I know that you are a research nerd. That 50% figure, Dr. Eve, yes. What does that figure look like if we plot it on a graph? Is that on an upward trajectory? Is it stable as a percentage of married couples who end up getting divorced? Is it going down? Is that a scary number? Can we give some context to it with a baseline? Yeah.
It is upward trajectory for sure. More and more people are getting divorced. But then we have the incredible paradox is that more people are getting married for a second time.
Oh,
so go figure. Wow. Eusebius, go figure. This is why I say this is the most exciting place for me to be. The most privileged place to be is in a therapy room with married couples or cohabiting couples, because one never ever knows. It changes all the time. Our ideas, our needs change all the time. And that's what this research is showing, is that actually when you got married, and I'm sure I'd love to hear from a lot of people who are saying, well, one of the reasons that I got married was because I knew I would have sex more regularly yeah. and I wouldn't have to hang out on Tinder or Grindr and I could just rely on the sexual partner.
Sure.
Well,
I go, oh, look,
not,
we've got,
you're not doing this.
We've got lots of people already calling us today. This is going to be a lekker one. But before I take Imran and Robert and Tabi Seng, the other quick stat I wanted us to just talk about is, so the divorce rate is obviously a percentage of the people who have chosen to get married by right. definition. What do we know about people who are unmarried thinking about getting married or cohabiting, mm-hmm. for example? Is mm-hmm. the appetite to get married for the first time, is that decreasing over time?
Yes, most definitely. It is. People are getting married later, which we can understand in terms of values, where our values lie, which is in career and establishing ourselves with status and with money. So average age of men are 30, average 34, women is 30. And so, as you would call it, the appetite to get married is definitely decreasing. Mm. But, you know, Eusebius, there we have the contradiction again, is that people want to be in commitment. They want to feel the safety of what the institution offers, but they're terrified of going into to the institution called marriage.
Mm. Okay, let's go to Kensington. Imran, just turn your wireless down for me and I'll come to you in 3, 2, 1. Hello, Imran. Welcome to the conversation.
Hello.
Hi there.
What I just want to know is, if you're like bisexual or gay, how do you tell your partner that you like want to get married if they don't know that you are the specific life choice?
How old are you, Imran?
I'm 15.
You're 15?
Yes, I'm a high school student.
All right, okay. Dr. Eve, over to you.
Imran, why are you thinking about getting married? Is it because it's like what you think you should be doing is getting married at any stage?
Yeah, because, like, I'm monogamous. So, like, mm-hmm. I just feel that, like, I should get married because it's like you don't have to worry about what's happening in your later life. I just want to know, like, if you have a specific life choice, how do you tell your partner that you have that life choice?
Okay, Imran, big question for you. Who do you want to be marrying?
I haven't chosen right now, but I just want to know because it's something big in my life right now.
Exactly. That's why I'm asking you, who do you want to marry? I don't mean a name, but I'm saying, do you want to marry a man? Do you want to marry a woman? What do you imagine yourself?
I imagine myself with the opposite gender, but I just, you know, want to know because I do feel sort of attracted to both.
Okay. So this is a bit of a conundrum for you at 15, where you imagine yeah. yourself on with like the wedding cake, and there stands a man and there stands a woman, and we're happily ever after. Right? Because that's, I'm sure, the image that's been given to you your whole life.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead,
Sweetie. It's just like my religion says that I should go with the opposite gender, which makes me a bit conflicted.
Absolutely. It's definitely going to do that. That religion is saying this is for heterosexual people and that's the only choice that we really have. The good news is that marriage is really becoming way more flexible. Unless you want to get married within a religion, within your religion, then you're going to need a lot of counseling and you're going to need a lot of support to be able to understand how to be married to either to a same-sex person or to somebody who you need some therapy with your partner, your courtship partner, to discuss your bisexuality with this person and arrange some kind of agreement, because marriage is like a, just see it as a container. It is just the outline. And inside that marriage, you know what, Imran, you're going to have so much freedom to do what you and a partner want to do.
Okay, we've just lost Imran there. All jeez. Right. But I think, yeah, we're going to need, I hope you keep tabs on how many, we've got like 50 shows planned between you and me. He's 15.
Yes, beautiful.
He comes from a religious family.
Mm.
I think he's expressing bisexual preferences or self-identity at this point, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And he obviously has been acculturated, without anthropologizing him too much, just based on that one little conversation with you, into imagining that, you know, a man and a woman have to live happily ever after. And we need to have a conversation with parents and teenage sexuality.
We got it. I've added it to the list after the doll.
Absolutely. Lerato Midran, good morning to you.
Hello, is it me?
Yes.
Oh, hi. I've been married for about 9 years now, and my views on marriage has changed.
9 years?
Yes.
That's as long as O.J. Simpson was in jail.
Celebration.
You know, I've been viewing a lot of marriages around me, from my parents to their relatives, all the way to my own marriage. And I've made a discovery that marriage is just an overrated illusion for stability.
So the advantage is that you were sold into marriage. Sounds like sold into marriage. You've changed your views around that. Tell us about your marriage, Lerato.
I'm in a good relationship. I'm very much happy with the person that I'm with, you know. We got married more for religious reasons, sex, you know. You cannot have sex until you're married. Right. Yeah, so my religious views have changed as well. I'm now atheist. So I started questioning marriage as well. And I've come to notice that, you know what, this is just a contract. There's really nothing much to it. It's just a contract. And what I also don't like about it is this vow till death do us part thing. Yeah. So I've been talking to my husband and we have decided to get divorced, but not to break up. You know, just to get divorced and continue staying together.
Oh, wow.
And raise our kids together and upgrade the relationship to just cohabitation.
I love that. And you call it upgrade. It's not a downgrade.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And be more real about our relationship, really. If it ends, then we don't have to go through the hardship of going through the paperwork, doing the courts and everything. So, yeah. We started the process of divorce and we are so happy about it.
Lerato, thank you for bringing in the new marriage ideas. Incredibly, incredibly interesting that you're sharing this. I'm curious to know about what advantages do you feel were sold to you that you find that are not relevant in marriage, and what do you think is going to be different when you cohabitate as compared to when you are contractually married?
I don't understand the part about what advantages. You mean the advantages that are picked up during the marriage?
Yeah, so what I mean by that is people get married for certain reasons. They're motivated to get married because they think there's going to be advantageous to them. It's going to be positive to them. Like you said, we're going to have sex. So were there other things that you thought I'm going to benefit if I get married, and now you feel, actually, I don't really benefit from that stuff, so let me get divorced and just live together?
Okay. Back then, I thought the benefit would be sex, of course, and staying together.
Mm-hmm.
And So now, the disadvantage that I'm noticing is this cultural belief that when you get married to somebody, you get married to the whole family.
Uh-huh.
So that has been a hardship for me. I feel like I'm in a relationship with one person. I live with this person. This is the person that I have to put up with daily. I do not want 50 more people in this.
How's it going to be different when you cohabitate, though? How do you feel that you will be able to be stronger? Because that's what I'm hearing, that somehow you will have more strength to be assertive and to say, oh, you know, no family today, no Sunday lunches.
Are you, Lerato, do you think the in-laws are, Lerato, do you,
yes?
Are you hoping that the in-laws will be less irritating if you are no longer Makoti?
Well, you know what? They're not necessarily irritating, but I just want to call it exactly what it is, you know, and what I want to take out of the relationship is just the bureaucracy.
Okay.
You know what you are? Lerato?
I love Lerato. I love you too, yeah, Bex. Can I join your cohabitation?
Polyamory,
huh? You can come and move in, you see?
There you go.
Depends. Wow. Lerato, thanks for that. Lerato. Yeah.
Yeah, we call that relationship anarchy, where you are breaking all the rules of relationship and creating your own, and that's really cool. I just always want you to be really clear on what your expectations are so you don't end up living together and wake up in the morning thinking, you know, WTF, what now? Okay.
Thanks, Lerato. Jeez, never know what's going to happen next on the show. Let's take a break.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking sex.
Okay, a couple of your tweets that are coming through. Lerato, another Lerato says, wow, Lerato and her soon-to-be ex-husband, soon to be cohabiting. They are my heroes. Anna Lee is a bit confused and tweets, sure, Lerato, how will that work? That sounds like suicide to me. Divorce and still date. I'm confused. And Asandam Bali says, what a wow. Lerato got woke after 9 years of marriage. I actually support her views. Break down those old rules. Just picking up on your tone, Dr. Eve, because, you know, you and I can finish each other's sentences. Were you trying to indicate a potential red flag that Lerato needs to be concerned about? So, for example, if there is in the extended family relations with the in-laws an issue, then going from marriage to cohabiting may not necessarily be the solution. So one mustn't romanticize what the upgrade will mean.
Exactly right. You really want to be able to have that conversation within any kind of relationship structure that you're in. Getting rid of one and replacing it with another can become institutionalized as well. And how do you change expectations? I mean, they've done really well as a couple. She said right in the beginning, we have a good relationship and I'm happy. And I think that that has to be because there is so much openness, conversation and flow of ideas that that's, you know, hopefully going to hold them in good stead in their, whatever their upgrade is.
Yeah. Ntombi, good morning to you.
Morning.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. The thing is, I'm 24, I'm currently single, but I'm looking to get into the relationship. But what terrifies me most is that I know this person wants to, like, get married, like, in 2-3 years, and the thought of marriage terrifies me. I am literally terrified of being in marriage, getting married, because I stayed with my parents, they are married, and they are unhappy. That's all I've seen. For me, marriage is just being trapped in this unhappy situation. And then when you have kids, my mom couldn't leave because she had me. She had to think about me. She had to think about where we're going to stay. Should she leave? And it was abusive. So I felt like she was trapped. And with me, marriage is equal to a trap. Getting married is a trap. And that's why, and it's just not like I have commitment issues. I have no problem committing to one person. I just have a problem with the idea that should I want to leave, I can't just pack up my bag and go because I have to think about all these other things before I can leave. And thinking about those all other things, actually then people are like, oh, okay, that's just too much. I can't. I'll just say I don't like that thing. And again, with Lerato mentioned that the whole in-law thing, oh my word, I can't. Because I can't cook. And, you know, if you're getting married and you're the bride, they expected to cope, to do all these things, and if you can't do them, they'd be like, well, we don't even know why you even paid Lobola for this girl, because she can't do anything,
sure.
You know? So that's another thing. Mm. I just want to be in a relationship with this one person, okay. And I don't want opinion, because once you get married, suddenly everyone has an opinion.
Choir of opinions, yeah, no, I get you. Yeah. Dr. Eve, what do you say to Ntombi?
Incredibly distressing, Ntombi, that you are still, and you're a young woman, are being held to ransom almost by these rules and expectations that have been created around marriage. It's horrible for me, you see, because the people are not even questioning it. They go into it and say, okay, here's the noose, let me hang myself. And I listen to her, I listen to your language, I listen to you, Ntombi, being trapped, and I can hear you can hardly breathe. You use the word terror. You know, you sound absolutely traumatized. So let me just put it into context of what is happening, because you're not the only one who's feeling in this way. I'll come back to the story of your parents, but what they found in this research around marriage advantage, which is really fascinating, is that people who fall into your age group between the ages of 28 and 34, in other words, millennials, that 55% are not married when they have their first child, and that some of these marry while others just never ever get married. So we are seeing an absolute trend away from being married. We are recognizing that the advantages that were given to us are not advantages. Just like you have cited them now, the influence of external people, of families, like Larocha said as well, the idea of having to cook, of having to serve, of having to be a certain kind of woman and a certain kind of wife, those are being rebelled against by people and saying, let's create something else, which gives us the same feelings of commitment and monogamy and sexual fidelity, but this idea of marriage is just a really bad trap. And so they're going into having children first and then getting married, if at all. And I'm going to come back to that, what's called the success sequence. We'll talk about that a little later. In terms of your parents, I do want to say, because there's so many people who will resonate with what you're saying, is that your trauma is being triggered by your parents. That's a trauma that you're sitting with, and it's been triggered by anticipating that this is what your own marriage is going to be because you don't have another model. Please, you know, take heart that you can create whatever you want. Read widely, listen lots to the radio, and just be aware that you have the power to create what you want.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it's going to take a lot. I wouldn't, actually, my plan would be, if I were to get married at all, I'd want to get married at 40. Not now, at 40. And that would be very good for me.
And Tom, can I ask you, before we let you go and take a news headlines break, just a quick one. If you are so terrified about marriage, now, do you feel that you need to get married under some circumstance? Did it ever occur to you that you don't have to get married at all?
Yes, that would be me, except that the person that I want to be with, he actually wants to get married.
Okay.
That's his thing. Yeah.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking sex.
Yeah, we've really hit the spot with this one, Dr. Eve. I love everything you do, but this topic in particular, I don't think we've had such incredible responses in ages. My Twitter timeline is going crazy.
And you sound so surprised by the outcome of this. I guess, you know, if you don't know the research and work with it, it would feel like marriage is just la-la land where everybody lives happily ever after.
No, that bit doesn't surprise me, but I thought that people are comfortable with their clear views on marriage, but it's so clear from our call so far that many people are having existential crises about this institution.
I know, that's why I'm going off to Austria in a month's time to go and present my work there, because we're looking at polyamory and alternative structures to be able to help people, as a therapist, how to manage these conundrums.
Absolutely. Let me read some of the tweets before we go back to the lines. Zaki says, for example, you see, Bez, it seems to me that a lot of women, if they were independent, they would not get married. That's my takeaway, listening to some of the women who have called in. And then Norma says, friend of mine refused a proposal from her partner of 10 years, but wears the rings. Lol, she says. Feels marriage benefits men more than they do women. Mm. They're just cohabiting, even though she's wearing the ring. And I have at least 20 tweets praising Lerato and her partner's decision. Here's a typical one. Toomey says Lerato and her partner epitomize the future of relationships the world over. I support her. Viva Lerato, viva. So I'm incredibly enthralled by these conversations. Stacey, just turn down the radio for me. I'll come back to you in a second.
I do want to talk about the success sequence because I have to.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that first, and I'll go back to the lines. Yeah.
Great, because of the paradox and the contradictions and the confusion that we're all sitting with as researchers and clinicians throughout the world, there is this something which is the economists have brought to our attention called the success sequence. And what they have found, which is really important for us to listen to, is that people who follow the success sequence, which means that the first thing you do is that you get a high school degree, then you get a job, then you get married, and then you have your first child. And if people follow this, these economists have found that socially, as well as from a health point of view and life satisfaction, people fare better. Not only do they fare better, but they take themselves out of poverty. People who have children who do not follow this sequence, 46% of them who grow up in low-income households stay poor.
Mm.
We have to be sober about this, that there is something very sound, sensible, financially, emotionally, and economically, well, health-wise, that makes sense. But I would be able to argue in every one of those points as well. So, you know, we have contradictions.
The other stat that I wanted to pause over when I read your blog that sort of caught me off guard is when it comes to children.
Yeah.
Where does that set come from, Dr. Eve? It really took me by surprise, because when children are unsafe and preyed on, they are typically preyed on by potentially anyone. But we also know, at least in terms of sort of public memes around how predation works, that it's people who are closest to kids who often prey on them, including in the house. Now, did the research tell us that children are statistically safer inside marriage?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? That children raised by married biological parents are 20 times less likely to be sexually abused than children raised by a lone parent and a partner who's not related to that child. So you think about that as I did, and it's kind of a sobering thought to think, is this really true? And on one side, of course, I get it, that if you've got two healthy adult parents who are going to be very conscious and very present and listen to their children, that child is going to feel safe and protected. At the same time, and side by side with that, if you've got parents who are highly volatile, traumatized themselves, not present and not listening to their children, those children are going to be just as vulnerable to abuse than single children in single households. So, as I said in my blog, you know, neighbors, grandparents, uncles, aunts, they visit, they abuse the children who are living with these biological parents, especially those whose marriages are unhealthy.
Yeah, and also, people mustn't infer more from that stat than the stat is communicating. Yes. I think, and it's just my opinion, that one of the worst reasons for a couple to stay in a marriage is for the sake of the children.
Thank you so much. 100%. I'm absolutely opposed to that as well. And people will go, the psychologist will go and say, it's better for you to have your two parents. And I'm like saying, I don't think that is so, because the squabbling, the conflict produces trauma.
Kids pick up on it. We pick up on it. Yeah, we reproduce it in our own lives many years later.
You know, that's why I became a couple and sex therapist, because I started as a family therapist, and it's like, oh, no, these kids are symptomizing because of the parents.
Mm. Let's go to Kraaifontein, Dr. Eve. Hello, Roy. Welcome.
Hi. How are you keeping this morning?
Very well. Thank you, Roy. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Can I just comment on two things that, was her name Laura?
Laura? I'm not sure where it was. Let's call her Laura for argument's sake. What are the two points, Roy?
She raised two very pertinent issues. She got married for religious purposes. What's happened to the religion? And then two, she says her family have become a burden on her. Well, there are certain points in religion that tells you, if you give up your family and your friends for my sake, you will inherit far more in the eternal life. And I'm not telling her to go in a specific religion, but every religion will tell you, love God with all your strength. Where's her strength?
She doesn't love God, Roy. Lerata actually says she's become an atheist, so she doesn't turn to God for her strength. But clearly, you know, you do, and we respect that as well. You see, this you breathing. I'm sorry, you laughing. Do I need to say this?
I love you to bits. She doesn't love God, Roy. I think that just sums it up. Let's go to Tracy instead, Dr. Eve. Hello, Tracy. Welcome to the conversation.
Hi, I'm good, Mr. CBS. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to weigh in. My husband and I have been married for 19 years.
Yes.
And I got the most amazing advice from our priest when we got married. He asked me the question, why do you want to get married? And he said that you should never get married for any other reason other than you love the person and you would like to spend your life with that person. Don't get married because you're pregnant. Don't get married because you have to. Don't get married because of religious reasons. Get married because you want to share your life with that person. And so far, we've had a fantastic relationship. We have healthy children and we have a very secure environment, which is what I want personally from marriage. Not only, you know, sexual favors, etc., but a genuine relationship, which is what we have. And obviously we're both Christian, we both have similar values, and so therefore it works for us. And I just think in this day and age, you should not be staying in a marriage for any other reason than that you love that person and you want to be with them. And that's it. It's simple.
Sure. Tracy, I admire your sustenance and your ability to maintain that feeling for 19 years. It's really remarkable. I'm going to read you, in response to what you say, in the last paragraph of my blog. I've said, personally, I think that when marriage does work well, it is if the trumpets emerge from heaven and blast out hallelujah. And I wrote that tongue-in-cheek because I am an atheist and I knew people would talk around religion. I say there is simply nothing as godly as a safe and intimate marriage. And were I the marrying kind, I would follow every piece of professional advice and find a way to stay married. And that includes knowing when it's time to get unmarried. So thank you for bringing in a positive, lovely view of your own marriage to us. Of course, there are many like that. And when they work, it is kind of godly.
16 minutes before noon. Let's take a break.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking sex.
14 minutes before noon, and we are talking about marriage. Are the advantages of marriage disappearing or not? What is truth? What is false? Share your experiences, your anxieties, your perspective. Give us a call if you are in Johannesburg on 011-883-0702, and Dr. Eve will give her perspective and advice that you might want from her. And in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Vincent, thank you for your patience. Welcome to the show. Hello, Vincent.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wanted to contribute something, especially to us, we as black people. We when we approach marriage, we start with lobola. The lobola is to join the two families together, and therefore it's followed by marriage. In a marriage, when I see most of our brothers, we keep on complaining about how our parents are used to keep the each other. That is not our dava. That is not our case. We need to ask ourselves, how do we want to build our family structure? And in a marriage, God marriage was created to be fun, whereby a man must buy food, must buy Nando's, must buy things, and enjoy life, going to holidays locally and abroad. Let us keep it simple. Why is it so complicated? I'm not married. I want to get married one day. And I want to enjoy the life that God gave me. And knowing that without getting married, I'll never be happy. There's no happiness that you can get without getting married. Thank you. That's my contribution.
Yeah, impressive contribution, Vincent. Thank you for that. That for you it feels really simple. Perhaps it'll be a little different when you are married. And I'm hoping that when you do get married, that you will be able to have very wonderful conversations and be very clear in your opinions and listen equally to your partner around what you want to create. And I absolutely am with you that you want to create the structure that you want. You have the freedom to be able to do that. And I hope that's a takeaway message that our listeners do get today. Use the institution of marriage, if that's what you're choosing, to create whatever you want to inside of that, because you're kind of grown up and must make your own decisions now.
Absolutely. Felicity, good morning.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show, Felicity.
Oh, hi, Eusebius and Dr. Eve. Listen,
I don't know. I'm 35 and I've been married for 9 years now in May. And I just think that marriage is what you make of it. You know, my husband and I, we do things differently. I mean, I don't have to necessarily come home and cook. You know, I'm not the one who has to do the laundry all the time. I'm not the one who has to do, you know, we talk about our responsibilities within the framework of marriage. We talk about how we want to live. I mean, I'm an individual within this relationship. He's an individual within this relationship. And I don't feel, you know, the entrapment that I hear some ladies mentioning. You know, we build each other up. I mean, I left my job. I'm a mompreneur, is the, you know, the now term. And he, you know, he supports me in that. When finances are a little bit low, we talk about it, you know, we know what we want out of the relationship, and we know why we are in this relationship. We got married. If, you know, I'm a Christian, he's a Christian, but we take Christianity out of it, because we're not married because of God, so to speak, but, or to conform to certain religious standards. We married each other because we are in love, and we wanted to be together forever, you know. And I just think that if perhaps people would talk to each other about what it is they want out of their marriages, there would be far more, I don't know, far more beneficial, if I may put it that way, than if, you know, you just get married because you want to get married at some point or... You know, I don't know. That's my two things.
Okay, thank you for that, Felicity. It certainly makes sense to me, Dr. Eve. I've been wondering the whole time, this hour conversation that we've had, how much the reflections on marriage as an institution are a proxy for conversations about the relationship itself.
Yeah, exactly. I agree that should be really what happens. You know, there's so much time and money spent on the wedding and the dress and the lead up to it and the rituals that go along with it. It's like, okay, now you're in it. How are you going to be in it?
Wow.
And Felicity must be commended very much for living the kind of marriage which we would define as, you know, clinicians as being healthy. I've jotted down all the language that she's used, and she uses the word independent responsibilities. She says we're both individuals and that they build each other up, and there is what then is called, which is the ultimate of having a successful marriage, which is called freedom and independence. And this is why she's feeling happy and not entrapped with it. I want to make an observation before we end. Out of all the calls that we've had, Eusebius, every single person has mentioned in one way or another religion, God, priest, or something, which is really fascinating for me, that religion forms such an integral part of the institution of marriage. And what people have also mentioned the word love a lot. So we can see how very strongly these ideas are socialized and I think inhibit us being more creative in what could be a fantastic institution.
Absolutely. Dr. Eve, thank you so much for your insights. Can I add another to-do to our discussion list?
Let's do it. Let me hear.
I think we need to talk in a future show about the effects that childhood trauma has on our sexuality as adults. Obviously, and I saw your tweet yesterday, with which I fully agree, in this particular instance around Chester Bennington's suicide.
Absolutely.
There is, of course, also your general health, well-being that is affected by childhood trauma, but also think sex and sexuality, particularly when you have been sexually violated as a child.
Well, you know, that's my thing. That's what I spend my nights doing. So I'm always very delighted to do that. And for my clinical practice, my practice has changed completely to working with people who have trauma and struggle with intimacy now. So, of course, I'd be delighted to share new knowledge with all of you. Have a lovely, lovely weekend, married or not. Have fun. And I hope, and by the way, you know, those of you who are married, don't expect to have a lot of sex, but maybe if you're unmarried and on Tinder, you have a better chance. Have fun. Use condoms.
Have a beautiful weekend. We'll play out with Linkin Park, so you'll enjoy it as you leave the studio in Cape Town. Thanks, Dr. Eve.